Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. For those that are watching online, for those that are listening on the phone, it's good for us to be able to come together and to worship God. And we pray that you'll indeed be blessed as we gather this morning. Intimations, the service will be online tonight at just before 6 o'clock. And we do indeed pray that that will be a blessing to you. The services today, the morning service is taken by Mr. Lewis MacDonald. The evening service is taken by Mr. Donnie MacLeod, both from the Faith Mission. They very kindly recorded services when they were up here for the outreach mission. And we do indeed pray that as these services go out, that they'll be a blessing to all that listen to them and to all that watch them. We're going to begin our worship this morning, and we're going to sing in Psalm 102. Psalm 102 and at verse 23 down to the end of the psalm. My wanted strength and forth he hath abated in the way, and he my days hath shortened. Thus therefore did I say, my God, in midtime of my days, take thou me not away. From age to age eternally, thy years endure and stay. The firm foundation of the earth of old times thou hast laid. The heavens also art thy work, which in thine own hands have made.
My wonted strength and force he hath abated in the way, and he my days hath shortened. Thus therefore did I say, my God, in mid-time of my days, take thou me not away. From age to age eternally, thy years endure and stay. The firm foundation of the earth of old time thou hast laid. The heavens also are the work which thine own hands hath made. Thou shalt forevermore endure, but they shall perish all. Yea, every one of them wax old, like to a garment shall. Thou as a vesture shalt them change, and they shall changed be. But thou the same art, and thy years are to eternity. The children of thy servants shall continually endure, and in thy sight, O Lord, their seed shall be established sure.
Let us pray. Our gracious and ever blessed Lord, we do indeed thank you that we can enter into your presence this morning. That as we come and as we have sung this morning, Heavenly Father, that great reminder of all that you have created, how you created the heavens and the earth. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mighty hand upon us, that you created all these things for our pleasure. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we come and as we worship you this morning, that we would indeed know what it is to come before you as a great and awesome God, that we would indeed come and that we would bow before you. We learn in our youth that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And as we enter into this act of worship, we pray, Heavenly Father, that each one of us on our lips would indeed hold your name high, that we would indeed come and that we would glorify you, and that each one of us would know what it is to enjoy you. The psalmist teaches us elsewhere to taste and see that God is good. And we pray that each one of us, as we come before you this morning, would know what it is to live in your presence, to have tasted and seen that you are good, and to walk with you each and every day. So as we come and as we worship you this morning, we come also, Heavenly Father, before you in prayer. You are indeed our Father in heaven. And as we pray for your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, we come before you, Heavenly Father, and we ask forgiveness. Forgiveness for the sins that we have committed in this past week, for the things that we have said and done wrong, for the things that we have failed to do to honour and glorify you, the opportunities to witness for you that we have failed to take. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we come before you, that you would indeed forgive us, and that you would help us in this coming week, as we learn more about you from your word and through the preaching of your word this morning, that you would help us each one to be strengthened, that we may go forth from this place this morning with a renewed energy, a renewed vigour, a renewed strength for you, a new desire, Heavenly Father, to go and work for you in the small corner of the vineyard that you have given to each one of us. You have laid upon us that call that we must be witnesses for you. And we pray that we would indeed witness each and every day in our walk and in our talk. We know, Heavenly Father, that you do not desire of us good works, but we must show, Heavenly Father, to our neighbour the good works that you have laid upon our hearts. For not one of us seeks glory for ourselves, but we seek to glorify you in all that we do. So as we come into this act of worship, and as we come and as we lay our burdens before you, we do indeed pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are laid low through sickness at this time, those that we hear of within our own community, connected with our own congregation that have been hit with COVID. We pray that your healing hand would be upon them, that, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to strengthen them, each one, that they would know, even in this dark time for them, that your hand is upon them, and that they can trust in you. For you have promised that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you are a God of refuge and a God of strength. So we pray that you would continue to have your hand upon them. We pray again for the community of Uist. We pray that your hand would be upon each one there, that the spread of the virus would indeed be ceased, and that, Heavenly Father, that our NHS services would not be overwhelmed. And we thank you that you are a God that hears and answers prayer, and you ask us to come before you with all things, not just the big things, but even the small things. So we come and we commit all these things to you at this time. We remember, Heavenly Father, those that have been hit with death during this past week, some in very tragic circumstances, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that your hand would be upon these families. That, Heavenly Father, that as they come together and as they mourn, as they question what has happened, that, Heavenly Father, that they would come to you, as we have prayed already, that they would know you as a God of refuge and a God of strength, that they would understand, Heavenly Father, that you have a plan, that you have a purpose, and that, Heavenly Father, that you are working your purposes out. And we know that at times, even through the valleys of the shadow of death, that you are there with us. You guide us, you comfort us, and we pray that they would know that comfort at this time. As they have so many different questions, that they would come to you. That, Heavenly Father, that they would lift up their cry of sorrow to you, and that they would be comforted by you. We pray for our own minister at this time, Heavenly Father, and the family, as they take a time of rest, that you would be with them, that you would indeed refresh them, that they would know a blessing upon them as they Heavenly Father, spend time as a family, that they would know that you are with them, that you would refresh them for the return to the labours that you have for them here, and that you would continue to bless them, and through the preaching of your word, that each one of us would indeed be blessed. And as we pray for the preaching of the word, we pray, Heavenly Father, for Stuart King as he preaches in Leverborough this morning, that he would know your hand upon him, that as your word goes forth, that it would indeed go forth in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your promise that your word would not return unto you void, that it will achieve the purpose that you have for it. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that in Leverborough, in Scalpe, in the wider community here in Harris and across Lewis, that Heavenly Father, as your word is preached, that you would indeed bless it. And for the wider Scotland and the rest of the world, Heavenly Father, for all services that are preached on this your day, that Heavenly Father, that people would indeed be blessed. There may be one or two that listen to a service for the first time, that their hearts would indeed be softened, Heavenly Father, that they would see their need of you, and that they would indeed cry out, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would indeed be blessed. We thank you for Lewis that comes and speaks to the children, and as he breaks down your word later on in the service. We thank you for the work that you have called him to in the faith mission. And as he grows in that ministry, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless him, that you would continue to use him mightily, and that he would know, Heavenly Father, your hand of guidance, your hand of direction, your hand of encouragement, Heavenly Father, upon him. We thank you for his willingness to share. We thank you for the time that we had with himself and Donnie as they came here for the open-air meetings across the island. And we pray that even yet that you would continue to bless the seeds that were sown. That Heavenly Father, according to your timing and according to your purpose, that they will indeed bear fruit. Oh, we thank you for your showers of blessing upon us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be ever grateful for your mercies that are new every morning to us. We know that we can face hardship at times. We know that we can feel downcast. But we thank you that we can come to a God that opens his arms to us and says, "Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So irrespective of our circumstances this morning, may we come to you. May we cry out to you. May we know your rest and your peace. And may we know your blessing upon us as we worship together here. And we ask all this in Jesus' precious name, as we ask forgiveness of our sins. Amen.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with you and to share with you in Harris today. It's good also to be able to share with the young people. Just the other day, I was remembering a few weeks ago, it would have been very windy at home. Maybe not so much what we're seeing here or in Lewis the past few days, but it was windy by Sky standards. And I was watching our back fence. It's a tall fence, and I could see it just blowing in the wind, and I was sure that it was going to topple over at some point. And I wondered what the problem was, because it stood there for years, not an issue, and now we're seeing it near collapsing. And I knew, you know, if it comes to winter, then this is going to blow over unless something's done. So I took my papa up. He would be clued in. He would know what to do with these sort of things. So we went round to the neighbour's garden where we could see the back of the fence. And we were looking, and the centre post, it looked fine. And there was a concrete block that would hold it in at the bottom. And we noticed there was a big crack down the middle of this concrete block, and we reckoned maybe something had collapsed on it. And so we thought, well, if we hammer this concrete away and fill it in, put a new shutter in and put more concrete in it, then it'll be sorted. The fence won't be wobbling any longer. Well, that was our plan. We got a new post just in case, but we reckoned the post was fine. We didn't think there was anything wrong inside. We thought the problem was on the outside with this concrete. And so we were there preparing the area, taking the nails out and whatnot. And we realised, see, when we hammered this concrete away, we realised that the post was completely rotten. on the inside. And even though the concrete might have been a problem, even though we had to have that sorted, it still wouldn't have made much difference in the grand scheme of things. Come winter, that would have still collapsed because the post was completely rotten. It was soaked right through the middle of it, and we knew that it was going to fall down. So what did we have to do? We had to put a new post in the center to hold up the rest of the fence. We knew that if we were to fix the concrete, there had to be a new post in place holding it up as well. Otherwise, there would be no chance of it standing up. I was thinking about that, and it was reminding me that often we go about our lives, and we read in the Bible that we are sinful, and we read that we are not right before God, but often we think that if we're good people, and if we do good things, and if we act well, then that will somehow cover the issue. That will somehow make us right with God. If what we do on the outside is right, then we'll be fine, and we won't have to worry about whatever goes on. You know, the Bible says that the biggest problem that we will face is our sinfulness. And the Bible also says that our sin, it is in our hearts. It's not merely in what we do or how we act. It comes from the heart, and it affects the heart, and it means the heart is not right. Just like that post, when we took away the outside, just like how it was rotten, our hearts are affected by our sin. I'm just going to read a verse for us just to help us understand this a bit more. This is from the book of Romans. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Just like us thinking that the issue was on the outside, and if we fixed that, we soon realized that there was more to it. It's the same for us with our hearts and with our lives today. The problem is that we are sinful and that we need that dealt with. But we read here that if one believes with the heart and confesses with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to believe? What are we believing in? It's believing that we can't do anything. Whatever we do on the outside isn't going to sort the issue on the inside. It's believing that we need a Savior and believing that we need someone who's going to save us. And the Bible tells us that that someone is Jesus Christ. He will save us. He will deal with our sin so long as we believe in Him and confess ourselves that that is what we need. Do you know what happens when we believe, when we confess? The Bible says that we are given a new life. We are born again. And just like that post, we had to completely get rid of it and put a new one in. We couldn't fix it. We had to put a new one in. So it is with our lives. God completely takes away our sinfulness, and so He gives us new life. Remember today, or remember in the next few days, us struggling with this fence, wondering how we're going to sort this rotten post. And remember that we need to deal with the sin in our hearts and know Jesus as Savior so that we can know that issue sorted in our lives today. We're going to pray together now. Lord, we are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that though we are sinful and though we can't do anything to sort it ourselves, yet you sent your Son to die for us, that we might know new life and that we might know peace with you, Lord. So help us to remember that in our lives. Help us to remember that in the coming days, our need of you as a Savior and our need of you as our God. So, Lord, we pray that you bless the children in this congregation, that they might know your presence, that they might know the call of God in their lives. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles now, we are reading from Matthew chapter 24, and the verses towards the second half of it. This section is one of several that deal with Christ's return, which deal with his coming again. And we read here of two conditions that we can be found in. As Jesus gives his disciples an indication of what will happen on the last day, there is the promise that on that day there will be those who are prepared and those who are unprepared. When Christ returns to the world, when the Lord comes back commanding an account of all people, there will be those who are prepared and those who are unprepared. So we'll read from Matthew 24 and we'll begin from verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We'll end our reading there. Let's pray before we think about God's word. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. We thank you for this reminder that is set before us, that one day your Son will return, and we will have to consider whether or not we are ready for that day. Help us as we think about this passage, as we think about the words of your Son. Protect us from distraction, Lord, and may we understand, may we know that we are right with Christ today. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our focus today is going to be on verses 36, but even if we look back to verse 29, it gives us some description of what will happen on that last day. There will be cosmic events. The world will see the spiritual realm breaking in, and every person on the planet will see and will understand that Christ is Lord. No matter what we say about the end times, we know that everyone will see Christ and understand that he has come to gather his people, has come to bring them home. And see on that day, see when the sun and the moon no longer give off their light, see when Jesus is sent by the Father to bring home his people. See when every person on the earth cries out that Christ is Lord. On that day, for some, it will be too late. For those who have not prepared themselves, it will be too late. I'm sure you know that there are different views, there are different understandings on these end days, and we could talk for months and years about that and perhaps not get very far. But if there's one thing that we need to know, if there's one thing that we need to remember, it's that Christ is coming back. Whatever happens, Christ is returning. As we see wars and famines and earthquakes, or birth pains, as Jesus would call them in verse 8, as we think about the leaves of the fig tree showing that summer is near, we must also be prepared for Jesus' return. I want to take just 3 points from this passage, and we'll see as we work through these points that they are linked with the coming of Jesus. They are linked with the coming of the Son of Man. Today, we must examine whether we are ready for that day, whether we are ready for Christ's return, whether we are prepared. Firstly, then, we read of the days of Noah. The disciples have approached Jesus, asking about how the end days might be understood. And he goes on to say this about the last day in verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. Just quickly, it's worth noting what Jesus is saying here. Even he did not know when he would be returning to earth. I would argue maybe now that he does, now that he is enthroned in heaven, he does know when he's returning. But certainly while he was carrying out his earthly ministry, he did not know when he might return to earth. And so as we begin to think about these verses, we need to understand that it's not something that we can work out. We cannot run the risk of thinking that we can work out when he's going to return. We can't fool ourselves into thinking that we have time. No one is promised that they have any amount of time. And so we must understand as we read these verses that they do not take away from the suddenness of his return. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Sounds like normal living here, and it is. We could say that for the most part, there is nothing wrong with what's going on here. They're just living life as usual. But the problem that Jesus is presenting to us is that these activities are being set above and beyond the things of God. They're being set high above the fact that Jesus is returning. People are focusing on their lives, on their lifestyle, and they're not considering the fact that Jesus is coming back. And see, when people are living a life ignorant of God and ignorant of the fact that he is returning, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. Genesis 6 and 12 says this, "And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." 6:17, "For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you." In the days of Noah, God saw the wickedness of the people, but he warned Noah of the judgment that was to come. So through building the ark, Noah was given a way to escape the coming judgment. He was given a way of safety that he might not know the judgment. And so he had a covenant made between himself and God. The Apostle Peter would add that Noah was a herald of righteousness. In other words, he made people aware that there was a judgment coming. Although God told him, he went and he told the world that judgment was coming, and they needed to be right with God. They needed to know that judgment was coming. Because he prepared himself, he and his family were saved. And because those around him did not listen to the warning, because they did not consider that judgment was coming, and because they went on with life as usual, because of that, they were swept away in the judgment. We need to understand that we are in similar days today, just like those who carried on with life as normal but turned from God and preferred their sinfulness, preferred their lifestyle over God. Just like in those days, we are doing mostly the same thing. Just like those who heard that judgment was coming and yet neglected the warnings and played blind to it. I'm sure we might read the story of Noah, and in hindsight we wonder how they didn't listen to the warnings. And it's easy for us to think that, it's obvious, but whether we are thinking that or not, make sure today that you know Christ is returning. Be sure that you know it is the same today. The Lord has promised a coming judgment, and whenever that may be, we must be prepared for it. If you would rather live your life as normal, if you think it's fine to carry on, if you think you have time, think today where you stand before God. Ask yourself where you are in relation to His righteousness and His justice. You've heard it many times before. Jesus said early in His ministry, repent and believe in the gospel. Just as Noah was protected, just as he was kept safe in the ark, know that you today can be kept safe and will be kept safe in Jesus Christ. So long as you turn from your sinfulness, so long as you repent from this path that you're on and turn the other way and flee to God. Know that Christ came for sinners like you and like me, that on that final day we might be prepared to enter into eternity. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Make sure today that you are right with Jesus. Make sure you are prepared for His coming. At the coming of the Son of Man, this will be realized too late for many people. Make sure you know today that you are right with Christ. Today, just like in the days of Noah, we are living in similar circumstances. But turn to God. Own the promise that the righteous will enter into eternal life. Secondly, we read about one who is taken and one who is left. We are reading here of two disappearances. From verse 40, it says this, then two men will be left in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. This verse isn't so clear. What does it mean? One is taken and one is left. And I suppose it could be interpreted in different ways, and it is. But whatever it fully means, I want us to know that it means this. There are those who are going to be taken to be with the Lord, and those who will be left outside of the fold. Those who have been saved and so go to be with the Lord in eternity forever, to enjoy His presence forever, and those who will never know eternal life with Him and will be apart from His goodness for all eternity. Like Noah, there will be those who will be saved, those who will know Christ as their Savior. But like the people around him, there will be those who are left because they have not prepared themselves. Look at the jobs that are being carried out here, being in the field, grinding at the mill. We just get a picture of people working, living and working together, and not being separate in that sense. People are together. It's two people doing the same thing, two men doing one thing, two women doing another. And as far as we are concerned, there is nothing different between them. But one is ready and one is not. Maybe we ask, what is that to us? Well, can it not also be the same today? In our places of work, in our families, maybe even in the church. Could it be that like those who live and work together in these days, in what Jesus has said, there could be those who are prepared, those who will be taken, and those who are left. It's clear that doing good things, doing the right thing, won't save you. The Bible tells us that clearly. Coming to church, as good and as right as it is, will not save you. Ticking the box every Sunday will not make you right with God. But repent and believe and know Christ as your Savior. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Do you know that Christ is your Lord today? Jesus is talking to the disciples, but this comfort is for all who know Him today. Do you know him as your Lord? Colossians 3 verse 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. For those who are prepared, for those who will be taken to be with the Lord, even today, our lives are safe with him. Christ closely unites himself with those who he is pleased to call his own. Do you know that your life is safe with Christ? Do you know for certain that you will be taken to be with him on that day? Can you say today that you are united with Christ, that you are safe with him? As we think about those who are taken and those who are left, make sure you understand, make sure you know your own standing before God today. As you continue in coming to church, as you continue with your life, consider whether you are prepared to meet the Lord, whether you will be taken or whether you will be left. Consider whether you are able to call Jesus your Lord. Lastly, we have the lesson of the master and the thief. From verse 43 we read this: "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into." We are living in days just like that of Noah. Come that last day, there will be those who are taken and those who are left. But for those who are left out, for those who are unprepared, that day will be like a thief coming in the unlikely hours of the night. I'm sure we've all read or heard about break-ins, people's experiences with them, and usually at no fault of the owners, it happens in unlikely hours, it happens when they're asleep. But whatever we've heard or whatever we've read about it, there's no denying that it's a vicious and it's a rapid event. When it happens, there's nothing that can be done. So it is with the master who is not ready for the thief. So it is for those who are not ready for Christ's return. Jesus isn't saying here that his return will be corrupt or evil like a thief breaking in, but it will carry that same sense of unexpectedness. And it will be a fearful time for those who realize it is too late. It will be a dreadful thing for those who have not prepared themselves. But how does he say we contend with this? Verse 44. "Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." These few verses are teaching us that we must be on our guard. We must be ready. We must be watchful. Just as the master was not prepared for the thief who came, we must be alert and ready for that day. Do not neglect the warnings. Just as we have read the lesson of the master and the thief, make sure you are prepared. Make sure you are ready for that day. Make sure you are ready for the coming of the Son of Man. I know we've spent this time looking at the disaster it will be for those who are not right with God. But as we just come to an end, I want us to look at the promise that is made to those who are right, who are prepared, who know Christ. See, when we think about those who are swept away in the flood, we remember Noah, who was kept safe in the ark. And how much greater it will be for those today who have heeded the warning, who know our need of repentance and belief. How much greater it will be for those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. See, when we think about those who will be left outside of the fold, we remember those who are taken. We remember those who will go to be with God forever. And though we have sinned, and though we have rebelled against God, against the very one who has made us, he would yet welcome us in love and mercy. So long as we respond to the work of his Son, we will be taken to be with him in glory forever. Despite who we are by our nature, despite what we've done, yet God has shown his love in sending Christ for us. And so, like those who are taken, so will we be. And we'll go to be with Christ. We will go to be with our God forever. And see, when we think of the master who was not prepared for the thief, we remember what it will be like for those who are alert, for those who are ready. For those people, it will be a cause of great joy to have our Creator, to have our God, who we have at some point fought against, to have him come and call us into heaven, where we will be with him forever. That will be the cause of great joy for those who are prepared. Jesus has been saying this to his disciples, and at the end of the chapter he warns his followers, those who already are prepared, to continually live a life ready. And I just want to close with the words of the wicked servant in verse 48. He says this: "My master is delayed." I would agree with the statement that one thing that's more dangerous than believing that God does not exist is believing that God is delayed. It's believing that you have time to live your life and do what you want, and then eventually somehow you can come before God. Somehow believing that God is delayed. God does not delay. All that happens, happens in his time, and he will come suddenly. And he will come in his time, and he will deliver the unrighteous over to eternal punishment, and he will bring the righteous into his glory. So today, consider whether you are prepared, whether you are right with God. Consider whether you are ready to be entered into eternity, whether you are counted among those who will go to be with God in glory forever. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let's pray together now. Lord, we are thankful for the words of your Son in this passage. We thank you for the reminder that we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for the coming of the Son of Man, that we might stand on that day and know ourselves covered by the work of your Son, that we might stand and know that we are saved through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So we pray, Lord, that you remind us of your word in these days as we go out into our lives, as we work and as we spend time with friends and family, and as we do what we need to do, Lord, remind us of what it means to be prepared for your coming and our need of it, to be right before you. We thank you for your word. Protect us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Saviour, Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Saviour, Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, Do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.